Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Aleph. We begin a brand new Perek Kol Hatzlamim. So it's the Mishnah on Mem Amud Beis, 8 lines off the bottom of the Amud. Before we begin, a quick brief overview perhaps is in place to help us understand the upcoming sugya, the upcoming sugyos regarding Avodah Zarah items. So the Rambam explains that in the old days they would, although many still believed in Hashem as being the creator, nevertheless they worshipped all kinds of mediums, whether it's celestial bodies, sun and the moon, etc., etc., thinking that by submitting to those powers were like authorized by Hashem, so to speak, to distribute the goods, right? To provide, to sustain, and it's only by way of connecting with those emissaries, with those like ministers, so to speak, then you gain their favor, you court their good favor, and receive what you need to get from them, which of course is a mistaken belief, because ultimately Hashem is the creator and the actual provider, ongoing provider. So although he sort of funnels his blessings, his bracha, the force of life through these things, but it's merely like a pipeline, like you would run water through a pipe. The pipe has no impact or relevance as to what's going on. He's just an inanimate pipeline medium where the water runs through. So Hashem likewise created this system. He shaped the pipes and positioned them in a manner that they actually funnel his bracha, his life, his taiva, to the various addresses that Hashem intended. But in terms of who's running the show, who's orchestrating and arranging everything, all the way to the most minute detail, of course, it's Hashem. Hashem, hu, ha'alakim, it's all one and the same power of Hashem. So we need only serve Hashem, submit to Him, connect to Him, and bring about all of His goodness. So in any case, says the Rambam, they would make these statues, these sculptures, these forms, tzlamim, to sort of represent. They were sort of representative of those various powers. So if you'd make a sculpture of the sun, to sort of use that to connect to the sun, so that would be a symbolic, representation of the sun. And then you worship it, you bow to it, which in effect is like submitting to the power of the sun, etc. And they would worship it maybe once a year or, beginning of the new year, etc. There were certain specific times when they felt these respective powers were sort of, at their heights. So you would go and you would connect to it, you would submit to it, worship it, pray to it. By doing so, hope to earn whatever it is you're trying to get. Okay, so the Mishnah begins with Kol Hatzlamim Asurim. All these forms, sculptures, statues are forbidden. Rashi adds the word Bahano. So we know that something which is Avodah Zarah, something which is worshipped, is Asur, even Bahano. The Pasuk speaks about it several times, right? Vayisacherem Kamayu. Don't bring the Avodah Zarah into your house, lest it affect your house. The Avodah Zarah is meant to be kept out. It's despicable. Don't get involved at all with this material. You can't use it, can't have anah from it, you can't sell it, you can't. So all these forms, these statues, sculptures are off limits. Because they're worshipped at least once a year. So although it's not an ongoing thing, but even though it's only worshipped once a year, and again the Rambam explains that once a year corresponded to the position of the sun in that specific place, which they believed would somehow engender some benefit. So the fact that it's worshipped even once a year, that makes it avodah zarah, and therefore it's asur b'hanah divrei Rav Meir, asur Meir Shita. The Chacham Aimer, they disagree. Einei asur, typically you don't have to worry about, you know, you see a statue, a sculpture, you don't have to attribute it to avodah zarah. It's just for beauty, it's just for... it's not Avodah Zarah. Unless there is indication within the form itself. Ella, only kol sheyesh b'yadei makel, if the statue was sort of holding a stick, which indicates dominion, indicates authority, or tzipor, or a bird. So he's like controlling the world like a bird catcher holds his bird. Or kador, or he's holding a ball. Right? As though he's controlling the globe. Then, in fact, you have indication that it's Avodah Zarah. Otherwise, you can just assume that it was there for aesthetic purposes, for beauty. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, furthermore, Af Kol Sheyesh Bo Kol Dover, whatever he's holding in his hand indicates authority and dominion, and would be considered Avodah Zarah, so it's not limited to those three items. Ask the Gemara, what's the Machlokes about? So Rav Meir said, well, it's Avodah Zarah because it's Ne'evad, it's prayed to, it's served once a year. Okay, so then it's Avodah Zarah. What's the room for Machlokes? Eden Avodah Machs B'Shana, if these Tzlamim are worshipped once a year, my time at the Rabbanah, so why did Rabbanah say that it's not Avodah Zarah? Amar Bitzchabar Rav Yosef Amar Rav Yechna. It wasn't so clear-cut. In Rameir's, you know, place, Hayu Eden Oysev Machs B'Shana. In fact, they would worship once a year. But elsewhere, some places we know they did not consider these Avodah Zarah, and elsewhere we weren't really sure. It was sort of left up in the air. We're not sure. So if you encounter this type of statue in a different location, what happens? Do you attribute it to Avodah Zarah or not? Rav Meir was concerned about even a small percentage, small probability. So basically, Gozar Shar Mekaymas Ato Oisei Mokan. So whoever you encounter the statue, unless you know for sure that it's not, we have to be concerned that perhaps here as well they deem it Avodah Zarah, like in that place of Rav Meir. V'Rabbanan Lo Yichayesh L'Miyuta. However, Rabbanan will typically don't follow the Miyut. They don't reckon with a small percentage. So unless it's absolutely confirmed, we don't have to necessarily suspect that the statue in some random place is in fact being worshipped. Loigazru Shar Mekaymos. We're not concerned about other locales. Atu, on account of Oisei Mokum, that place of Rav Meir, where in fact these were considered Avodah Zarah. So unless you have firm confirmation, you don't have to worry. Amar Shmuel, Amar Bida Mar Shmuel. What type of statue are we speaking about? Bandati Shem Malachim Shanino. So they used to make this sculpture. Rashi says the king would die, they would make his form into a sculpture as a zikaron, as a monument in his memory. Tosfos adds, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, even during his lifetime they would do it sometimes in his honor. So this type of statue, this type of monument, that's the subject of our discussion. Is it in fact Avodah Zarah, or is it just an adornment, right? Omer Rabba, Bar Chano, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Furthermore, Umo'imdin al-Pesach Medina Shanina. We're speaking that these statues were positioned at the entranceway to the city, a place of prominence, and that's why we suspect that it was for Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabba. Machlekes b'shal kfar. When does Rav Meir consider these Avodah Zarah? Only if it's sitting in some, village. Some, in a small-time village, in a suburban setting. There's a concern that perhaps Avodah Zarah, Aval B'Shal Krachim, but if it's sitting in the city, right, at the entranceway to the big town, where they do make these things for dormant and beauty purposes, Divri HaKol Mutar, and everybody would agree, and Rav Meir would agree, it's okay, my time of L'Noya Avdilu, because they made it for adornment. So if it's in a big city, rest assured it's okay. Asks the Gemara Udik Forim, so in the big city, it's okay. If it's in a kfar, well, Rav Meir says, Avodah Zarah, Chacham say no, even there. It's just for decorative purposes. Really? Is there anybody that holds that the small towns erect these statues just for noi, for beauty? No, the Kfarim Vandai, if it's in a small town, certainly, Limif Lechinu Avdilu. They have no monuments there, they have no statues sitting there, they can afford these things. It's not a place where you're accustomed to finding these types of things, unless it's for Limif Lechinu Avdilu, for worshipping purposes. Of course, we have to assume it's Abedez or Ella, rather, we're going to switch it around. I Itmach, if it was learned, it was as follows. Amar Rabba, Rabba tells us, Machlegis Bishol Krachen. When do Rabbanan permit? Only if it's in a big city. We have reason to believe that it was just for adornment and decorative purposes. Aval b'shal kfar, but if it's in a small town, everybody agrees it's usher, because why else would they do it if not for avodah zarah? Okay, so let's just recap. We find these statues, the statues of these kings, sitting out in the Pesach, right? The entranceway of the Medina. So Rabbanan say, unless you have firm indication that it's Avodah Zarah, you see the way it's positioned, the way it's designed, it's sort of showing, expressing, you know, authority and dominion, then you know it's Avodah Zarah. Otherwise, not to worry. Ramirez says, you know what, in some places they worship these things, I know for a fact, so therefore, we're always concerned for Avodah Zarah. V'chacham oimrim inan asurin, unless he's expressing authority, he's showing control, he's holding this club. What does a club exhibit? So the Gemara will actually express it in the reverse, because we want to sort of relate that to Avodah Zarah in a degrading in a degrading way. So that's why the Gemara will say it in a sort of a euphemistic way, that the point of the makel is Sheroide es Atzmai. He's placing himself beneath Tachas Kaloilam Kula Kimakel. This Makel is like the world is over him. It means to say that he is over the world. Bimakel, the Zakir said, Bimakel. So we're using disparaging, you know, language to express what they're trying to say. They're trying to say that he is controlling the world. The same thing with the bird, same thing with the globe. Tzipor, what's the point of holding a bird? Shatefer says, Atzmai tachas kolam kulik ketzipor, that he's being controlled by the world, like the bird being clutched in his hand. Well, it means the opposite, that he's controlling the world. What's the point of the kader? What's the significance of the round ball in his hands? Again, he's controlling the globe, which is round. Shatefer says, Atzmai tachas kolam kulik kador, that he's beneath the world, meaning he's above the world. Interestingly, Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi, lest people think that the Chazal didn't know the world was round, right? Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi. He says, Kikadur, so it's about midway down the Amid here, Kikadur sha'ilam ogol, because we know the world is round. Kadisa b'Yerushalmi, sha'alexandrus moikten, the great Alexandrus, also olalamala, so he ascended upwards, and the version bring that he was sitting on some sort of eagle. In any case, he went flying up to space, and he noted the world beneath him, the globe, like a ball. It was shaped like a ball, a globe. And the sea was like a bowl of some sort. So the planet, the Pacific Oceans, they look like a tray surrounding the world, which was like a ball. There you go. So from the time of Alexandrus, it was pretty clear to all that it was round, and Chazal knew it from day one. So, in any case, that's the significance of the ball in the hands of the statue, Tana. So in the Mishnah, we cite three examples: the club, the bird, and the ball. In the Braisa, there were three more items added to the list, which express control, authority, and dominion. Tano Sifa Lein Saif, he's holding a sword, a Torah, some sort of headpiece like a crown, a tabas, and a ring. Why are these considered? Saif, the point of the sword, Mikara. So initially, meaning in the time of the Mishnah, where it was not on the list, because they did not deem it a firm expression of authority, Mikara Savar, initially the Chachamim figure, it was just listed in Ba'amah. It's just showing, you know, symbol of a bandit, of a robber, of a murderer. And then it was reinterpreted to indicate dominion and authority. That he's in control, he's threatening the world with death. So it's an expression of Avodah Zarah. Atara, likewise, the point of the crown. Mikara Sovar, initially they assumed it just a benign expression of some sort of professional. Godel, clearly, that he's it's a symbol of a headpiece, you know, maker. Ba'alma, just it's just that. There's nothing more than that. Basayif, then they realize Sovar Katara Lamelech, it's actually showing, you know, royalty, like the crown on the king's head. The same thing with the ring. Initially, it wasn't interpreted as meaning more than just something benign, tabas, regarding the ring. Mikor, Sovar, initially they figured Ishtari Moba Alma. It's just a symbol of, you know, the king's messenger who was entrusted with publicizing the king's edict with his, you know, signet. Then they realized that it's more than that. Shechosim es Atzmoi. It's a symbol of power. Shechosim es Atzmoi Tachas Kodam Kulit L'misa, who has the power of signing off the world to death, meaning it's a show of authority, of dominion, of deity. Rav Shimon Leil Omer, anything that's in his hand has the same value. Tana, if you swear, if you look, even a pebble, even a chip of wood, if he's in control, he's running the show. Boy Rav Ashi, Tafas B'yodei Tsoyama, what if he's holding some animal waste in his hand? What is that a symbol of? Mi'aminen, shall we interpret it as Avodah Zarah? Kuli Alma, the message being sent is everybody is worthless compared to me. Zilu Ba'apeki, so everybody is like Tsoya compared to him, so he's the ultimate supreme power. Or you can say, who? Niu, Zilu Ba'api Kuli Alma Ketzoya, just the opposite. The message being sent is that this form, this statue, this whatever it represents, in everybody's eyes is as cheap as this Tsoya. In which case, there's no Avodah Zarah value to it. Take it, we leave it unresolved. So bottom line is, you have this Tselem. According to our mayor, we have to deem it like Avodah Zarah because in some places they worship it. And we discussed the Tselem as being something which is Andatu Shemalachim, featuring the form of the king. It was placed in a prominent position. Pesach Medina, Rameir says, let's assume it's Avodah Zarah and treat it as such. It's Asur Bahana, etc. According to Rabbanon, unless it's confirmed Avodah Zarah, for instance, if in its very form, it's expressing deity, it's expressing authority, it's expressing supremacy, in which case, you have to treat it like Avodah Zarah. And the items mentioned were the ball, the bird, etc. According to Reb Shimon Gamliel, any type of item in his hand has the same effect. Now, what if you find, you discover a broken sculpture? Hamoitzi shivreit slama. So it's a broken seller. Hareil mutar nalacha, is it okay? And Rashi explains, because there's a double suffix, double uncertainty. Firstly, so even according to Reb Meir, it's not 100% confirmed that it's Avodah Zarah. We have to assume it is, but there's still an element of doubt. Add another element of doubt to that, because if it's broken, we can suggest that perhaps the guy wouldn't worship it anymore. Perhaps he broke it, perhaps he saw it broke, you know, just collapsed on him, in which case he just disengaged from it, and he was mevatel it. Right? There's a halacha that a guy could be mevatel Avodah Zarah. Right? He can take it to Avodah Zarah and just deem it worthless by breaking it or whatever, abandoning it, in which case it loses its Avodah Zarah status. So if you go ahead and you find, you're taking a hike and you find a piece of an idol, it's considered mutar for the above-mentioned reasons. Okay, now, Motzo Tavnis Yad. Oy Tavnis Regal. What if he finds a broken statue, but it's not just a piece of nothing. It's a full limb. It looks like a hand. It looks like a foot. Hara'il Asura. Now it changes the whole halacha because this is a full entity. And the Mishnah explains, because It could very well be, and the Gemara explained that it's sitting on a pedestal, so it can very well be that it's being worshipped as an entity on its own. So it's no longer considered a broken entity. It has its own significance, its own value. You have to treat it like a vidazar. Amar Shmuel. So all of the Mishnah spoke about a broken tselem, a broken sculpture, which was never really a confirmed avidazara. You should know, says Shmuel, afilu shivra b'yizkechavim, even if it's a confirmed idol, confirmed avidazara, and now it's broken, it's mutter. Right? So, again, in the Mishnah we spoke about shivrei tselemim, the broken tselem. Tselem is what we discussed in the first Mishnah, which wasn't really a confirmed avidazara. So there Rashi explains, there's a double suffix. First of all, maybe it was never really worshipped, and secondly, maybe the owner broke it apart, and it was mevatalit. So it's a suffix fig. Shmuel comes and adds another element to this halacha, even a broken avodah zarah, so it's a confirmed idol. And even if the owner didn't personally break it, you don't know if you see it broken. Maybe it wasn't, he didn't even personally break it. It's mutter. Why, says Rashi, Shekivan Shenishbro, Shuv Einu Evden Oiso. According to Shmuel, once his idol disintegrates, once it breaks, once it collapses, he gives up on it. He just finds another one. So that's considered bittul. He negates it in his heart, and that's enough to make it mutter. Asks the Gemara, but in the Mishnah, Vanatanan, the Mishnah we speak specifically about only tzlamim, which were unconfirmed idols. Then we say if it's broken, there's that double doubt, and it's mutter. Shmuel will hold that even if it's a broken, confirmed avodah zarah, it has the same status. The reason why the Mishnah referred to the tzelem was simply to lead on to the next halacha. I mentioned at the second part of the Mishnah, which is highlighted with respect to a tzelem, which is a chiddush for a tzelem. Why? Because of the next part of the Mishnah, which says, Matzah tavnis ya, tavnis regal, even if it's a tzelem, which again is an unconfirmed idol, if you find a full limb, hand or foot, you have to treat it like a vaydazar, harei lasurin. Why? Because a full limb is something that's worshipped. So that's a big chiddush. Because we're speaking, even though it's not really a confirmed idol, who says we have to take it that far to even ban the broken the limb, right, and assume that it's still being worshipped? So that's the point of the Mishnah, to tell you, yep, you have to treat it like a avodah zarah. So that's why the Mishnah, in the opening halacha as well, referred to a tzelem, because it was trying to lead up to the next halacha, which is highlighted by itself, even by itself, which is unconfirmed to begin with. Nevertheless, even though now it's broken as well, we have to treat it like a avodah zarah. But according to Shmuel, the same exact concept, meaning that a broken entity is considered negated unless it still retains, you know, some. Unless it's a real, you know, it's still an entity, like a hand and a foot, but if it's just a broken, worthless piece, according to Shmuel, even if it's a confirmed avodah zarah that it happened to, it would be mutter. Tanan. Okay, let's go back to the second part of the Mishnah there. Motzah tavnis yad, tavnis regel, discovers the hand, the foot. Harei lasurin, they're asur. Pnei shekayetze by neved, because it's worshipped. Amai asks the Gemara, according to Shmuel, it's broken. Vashvar minu, when something breaks, it loses its status. Answers the Gemara. Tirgum Shmuel, Shmuel will explain. We're speaking that these limbs are sitting on a, you know, on a pedestal, on a base, which certainly indicates avodah zarah. But if it's just a random broken piece, we can just forget about it. Itmar avodah chum shenishtaver me'aleh. Oh, that leads us on to the next discussion regarding a broken avodah zarah. So again, it broke apart on its own due to old age, due to just disintegrated, fell apart. Rabbi Yechon Omar Asura, it's still Asur. Just because it broke doesn't mean he's giving up on it. Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, Shimon Lakish Omar Muteris, you can take it. It's no longer Asur. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asura D'Holoi Potlo. Rabbi Yochanan says it's lost because he didn't actively negate it. He wasn't mevatel it. However, Rabbi Shimon Lagash Amar Muteres. You know why it's muter? Mistama Betuli Mevatelo. We assume he gave up on it. He was mevatel it. Because look, Meima Arma, look what the guy is thinking. This is supposed to be my protector, right? Ihi Navshale Asla. The Avodah Zarah couldn't protect herself from falling apart. However, this man, meaning myself, right? Matzalei, she's going to protect me? Of course not. So he goes and finds himself another Avodah Zarah, and this one is no longer Avodah Zarah. Eisfei, Rabbi Yechanan, Lipshe Men Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan is a kasha. You're telling me Avodah Zarah that falls apart is mutar? We have that story with the Plishtim who robbed the Arayin, with the Luchais from Bnei Yisrael, right? And wherever it went, it caused them just havoc and destruction, right? And they had this Avodah Zarah called Dagon. Dagon is same letters as dog, like a fish. It was shaped partially like a fish. So the lower part of the idol was shaped like a fish, the upper part like a person. It had a head, it had hands, right? And suddenly they see that their Avodah Zarah is coming, is falling apart to pieces, coming to pieces. V'roish Dagon, his head, which take up his yodav, and his two hands, cruces, are severed. It's coming apart. And it sort of was cast upon the threshold. It sort of collapsed and, you know, fell onto the threshold. And that got them thinking, and they quickly got rid of they took the Urim and they sent it back to Bnei Yisrael, right, with those cows, like we learned, right, a couple of weeks ago, that were singing along the way. Uksiv, what happened as a result? Alkein lo yidruchu kehani dogein. So the ministers of this Avodah Zarah no longer would step on the threshold. So despite their idol breaking into pieces, they still accorded it power and respect. So you see, even a broken idol is still considered. Amar loy, so Rish Lakish responded, no, Misham Raya, how could you prove anything from there? Hasam, let me explain to you what happened over there. They gave up on their Dagon. Look, it collapsed. No, it's no longer doing its job. But they figured that the power, the dominion, whatever power their Avodah Zarah had, was now transferred to the threshold. Right? Shamanichnes HaDagon, they let go of Dagon, V'oivdenes HaMiftan, and they now worship the actual threshold. The Amriyachi, they figured like this, Shavke Isserei, the Dagon, the power abandoned. Isserei is like the power in heaven, the source of Dagon's power left him and was transferred, was transplanted to the threshold. V'asan came Esav Le'al HaMiftan and sat down and took up position on the threshold. That's why they wouldn't no longer step on the threshold. Not like you were saying, well, they were still respecting the Avodah Zarah. No, once it collapsed, it's over. But they were respecting, they were worshiping and praying to the threshold. Eisfei comes another kasha. The Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish to prove his position that, in fact, the Avodah Zarah that comes apart is still considered Avodah Zarah. From our Mishnah, so broken slumim are mutar, because the tzalim to begin with was a weak proposition. But let's say it's a hashivrei avedus kechavim. If it's a broken, confirmed avedus zara, asur it would be asur. Apparently, even when it's broken, it retains its status. Says the one, no, lo tame hashivrei avedus kechavim asur. Don't make an inference that the broken avedus zara is still asur. Ela ema, rather your inference should be like this: hatzlumim atzman asur. A broken tzelem is okay because we have that, you know, suffix, but if it's the tzelem intact, it would be usher like a remeir that is machmer and bans all tzelem. Now, how could Rabbi Yochanan ask a kasha from this mishnah? Rabbi Yochanan, what was Rabbi Yochanan thinking when he asked this kasha? Mid remeir nishmalu l'rabbanan. Fine. So let's say the mishnah is remeir speaking, right? So if the tzelem is still intact, it will be asr. If it's broken, it's mutter. But why is it broken tzelem mutter? We'll assume because it's no longer intact and therefore loses its status. So let's draw a parallel. Nishmalu l'rabban. Let's now conclude that according to Rabban as well, in their world, meaning not on the Tzelem world, that's Rameh's world, so to speak. Rabbanan disagree, they hold that Tzelem isn't necessarily Asur, but let's find something that according to Rabbanan is a problem. What is that? It confirmed Avodah Zarah, right? So likewise, just like the whatever Rameh considers Avodah Zarah, the Tzelem which according to Rameh is deemed Avodah Zarah, once it breaks its mutter, likewise, a confirmed idol, which according to Rabban is Avodah Zarah, when it breaks, it's mutter. So if anything, it's a kashar b'yechanan, who says that when it breaks, it's still asur. Mid Rameh nishmul Rabbanan. Lav amar Rameh. Didn't Rameh say, tzlamim asur, all tzlamim are asur? Nevertheless, they're collapsed, they're mutter. Shivri tzlamim amutar. So Rabban as well. Whatever in their opinion is considered Avodah Zarah, Avodah Kuchavim Nami, he asura. If it's intact, it's asur. Ushvira mutar, but once it collapses, it's mutar. Now, we have Kashar B'yechanan, who says that a broken Avodah Zarah, it's still asur. No, says the more, you can't compare one to the other. And that's based on the double doubt we discussed earlier. A broken Avodah Zarah, a broken confirmed idol, perhaps would be asur. It still retains its status. The reason why a broken tzelem is mutter according to Rameh is because there's that double suffix. A, who says it was really worship to begin with? B, maybe the Avodah Zarah was broken by the owner and he was mevatel. It didn't happen by itself, he broke it. How could you compare both sides of this equation? Awesome. By the tzelem, we have two reasons, two strikes against it. Emor, we can say avdum, emor loy avdum. It was worship, it was not worship. Of them, and even if it was worship, Amar Batal, maybe the owner was Mavatlet. So, did he worship it? Of them? Did he not worship it? Even if he did, of them, maybe he broke it. So, for those two reasons, we are Mat. But Avodah Chavim, but if it's real Avodah Zarah, a confirmed idol, Vadai Avdua. It was certainly worshipped, right? They certainly worshipped it. So now that it's broken, how miyemar the butler? Who says the guy was mavatlet? It fell apart and he left it alone. He didn't negate it. So you have a situation of a suffix. Have a suffix. You don't know. Maybe he was mavatlet. Maybe not. But you're trying to undo an established fact against uvada, against something which is firm. It was firmly established as Avodah Zarah. Now you want to take a suffix. A doubtful situation, a doubtful element, and use that to counteract a vaday. Can't do that. Vein suffik, moitzi midevaday. We know that's a rule. You can't undo a vaday with merely a suffik. Really, says the Gemara. Vein suffik, moitzi midevaday. Just because you have a vaday, you can't undo it with a suffik. I'll bring you several riyas to the contrary. About Tanya, that takes us off into a little bit of a tangent. In a discussion regarding a suffix versus a vada. So we have a chaver, person, upstanding person, reliable person regarding truma and maser. We know that he wouldn't feed somebody produce which was not addressed properly, which is something which is tevel, right? So the chaver passed away, shemes. V'niach megura melea peris, and left behind a storage full of wheat. Afilohim b'nei yamin, even if they were processed today, they're fresh off the boat. Harein b'cheskes mesukan, you can't worry about the tevel status. We know that the truma and the maser were separated. Why? Because the chaver would look after it. First thing he does, make sure nobody stumbles into my non-kosher food. Taisus brings that. Shalmi points out that he died mitechishav adas, meaning he was he died naturally, meaning it wasn't a sudden death. So he had time to contemplate and to look after his produce, make sure that he's not going to be machshel anybody, not going to trip anybody up. So we know for a fact, we assume that it's kosher. How can we assume? V'acha, here we have a classic example of a vadai, which is trying to be undone with a suffix, the vadai tefili. The freshly processed wheat was certainly in a state of tevel. There's no question about that. Which means to say, it was usher to eat. Now you're speculating that the chaver looked after it. Safek asrinu. Safek le asrinu. there's room to think that he did do the maaser, and perhaps he didn't. And you're hoping for the best. You're assuming that he did because he's suffic. So that suffic will now undo a vadai. Umoitzi midei vadai. You're going to remove the tevel status based on your assumption that the chaver took care of it. What right do we have to do that? Well, says the Gemara, no, you're making a mistake. It's not a suffic versus a vadai. You have a vadai on both sides of the equation. You know for a fact that he took care of it. Hasam vaday v'vaday. It's a vaday versus a vaday. The vaday asrinu. Without a shadow of a doubt, he certainly did the master. Kidu Rabbi Chanina Chuzo. Domar Rabbi Chanina Chuzo. Chazok. It's a well-established fact. Al chaver. If he's a chaver, if he's an upstanding fellow, reliable person. She'enoi moitzi dover. She'enoi mesukun. He would not allow anything which is not mesukun, which is not kosher, to leave his possession, to be accessible to others, lest they stumble into it. So before he does anything, takes care of his food, makes sure that it's kosher. He would not let go, make anything accessible to others if it was problematic. What you say, another way to approach this equation is that it's not a suffix versus a previous vadai. Suffix is suffix. It's really a suffix against a suffix. So you're dealing with elements of equal force. How's that? You're assuming that it was certainly tevel, that it reached the tevel status. No, not necessarily so. Because what's needed to make something tevel? A, fully processed, and B, it has to be delivered through the front door into the home, which indicates that it's ready for be served as a meal, at a meal. It's meant for domestic consumption. That elevates its status and makes it a fully finished product. And now it's liable to the tevel status. Now you have to remove the truma and the maaser before consuming it. So this fellow could have sidestepped this step of the process. He could have imported it through the back door. He could have brought it into the front door, but unthreshed, filled with chaff, not yet processed. So if you don't follow the steps perfectly, you don't follow the sequence, it's not going to trigger the tevel status. So you can't really say for certain that it was really tevel. At most, it's a suffix, maybe, maybe not. Well, then on the other side of the equation you have, well, maybe yeah, maybe not. He took off truma, maybe yeah, maybe not. So it's a suffix versus a suffix, and it cancels each other out. Suffolk is Suffolk. Why? Efshad David Rabbi Yeshua. Maybe he followed Rabbi Yeshua's concept. Dama who says, Marim Adam al Tvuas. A person could sort of sidestep the activation of the Tevel status. How? Umachnisa b'moitshele brings his Tvuah, brings his grain into the home in an unfinished state. And he's doing it, Kadesh Tei Behem Tei Echeles, to feed it to his animal, to Rabbi Namaser, and be exempt from Maser. So Rashi explains, although only an animal. But if a person actually eats, a proper meal, you can't do that. Even though it's not yet finished. But he says in this case, in the case of our chaver, since there's another element as well that perhaps he did do the maaser already, so now we allow anybody to eat it, even a sudas kva, even a sit down formal meal, it's potter. Okay, so we stick to our original formula. Suffix typically is not sufficient to counteract a vadai, such as when it's a confirmed idol, you can't just assume things. However, in this case of the chaver passed away without indicating one way or the other regarding his produce, we can assume it's kosher, either because it's a vadai and a vadai, or it's a suffix and a suffix. Really, being suffix mitzvah devade. Furthermore, you're going to tell me a suffix can't counteract the vade. By the time you have a brisa, which indicates otherwise. Or Rabbi Maaser b'shif chosid. The story took place with a maidservant of a yid, shal meitzik echad b'rimoin, this strong muscled fellow, this intimidating fellow, a meitzik, who lived in the town of Rimoin. Okay, so what happened? Sheitil nefil abar. His shifcha bore this stillborn into the pit. The question is regarding her tuma status. Is she required to observe the days of tuma and tahara due to this birth? Was it really a viable? What is it? Was it a male or female? Right, which would trigger different counting systems. Uba kohen, along comes a kohen, who Tosis says was a silly kohen because he shouldn't be taking a chance getting entangled with something that might be tummy. In the case he was a kohen who happened to have the know-how to determine, to identify the stillborn in there, v'heitzitz boy, and he took a peek into the boyer, leida, to determine im zachar nekeva, whether it's zachar nekeva. Okay, once that was done, what about the kohen status? Is the kohen in trouble because he got involved with tumah? Uba ma'asof nechacham v'teru. So the question was posted to Chacham, and they considered the kohen to be tahar. Apparently he did not notice the nafel. And the question was, should we suspect that perhaps the nafel was in that pit while he was hovering over it, and made him tummy? A dead nafel makes him tummy. V'tiyaru, no. He was considered tar. You know why? V'pnei, because, shechuldo, bardlos, because all these, weasels and rats, mitzuyin sham, are to be found deep in this pit, and they certainly... it's presumed that they grabbed the thing as soon as it was dropped in there, these hungry animals, and they carted it away, in which case it was no longer there when he came to peek. Ask the Gemara, we're running into the Suffolk versus the Vade equation again. Vacha, here we have a classic example. The Vade Yitila, Nefel. We know certainly she dropped the thing in there. Suffolk Giruru. And now you were speculating, okay, maybe the animal dragged it away. Suffolk Lo Giruru. Perhaps they didn't. In time, right? Perhaps they didn't get it in time, and he, in fact, became tummy. Because he's suffolk, and we are allowing a suffolk to counteract a vada. How could you do that? And so, rather than saying she actually cast this navel into the pit with certainty, no, that's not what happened. El Ema will say, she cast something which resembled a navel. Because not every navel is metami. There are some minimum requirements in terms of formation and makeup. It has to have some sort of resemblance to a human being. So we're not even sure if it happened to begin with in a way that's metame. That's why we can assume, we can hope for the best regarding the status of the coin. What do you mean? Valeidem zachar nekeva uktani. We spoke about zachar nekeva. Apparently it was a fully formed, entity. Hachika Amar, we meant like this. Leida, he came to determine all kinds of things. First of all, Imruachi pila, was it just a sort of an entity full of air, meaning it wasn't really a formed person? Im nefil itila, was it really a nefil, in which case it is has the formation of a human being. So we're not even sure about that. Im tintzulei nefil itila. He also came to check that if, in fact, it was considered like a human form, leida im zachem nekeva, whether it was it a male or female, so the whole thing was really one big suffix, one big... uncertainty to begin with, in which case we can just hope for the best that even if it was there, it was carted away. Another way to resolve this question is, let's say it was a fully formed baby and is metame, right? But kiven shechodu bardlos mitzuyin sham, since we know that these animals roam around the depth of the pit, v'adai geriru, it's not like we don't know. It's not like we have to speculate, did they take... There's no question as to the fact that they dragged it away in time. So by the time the kohen shows up, there's nothing to be metamim. Eisvi, here comes Akasha. Once again, Rabbi Yechon to Rish Lakish. Okay, so again, the machlekes was of a dezora that fell apart. What's its status? Rabbi Yechon says it's still usur, unless we know for a fact that he was mevatel. Rish Lakish says, no, if it came apart, he abandons it. We have the Mishnah which says, Matzah tavnes yad tavnes regel, haril asur, even a hand or a foot is still asur. Why? Because it's still deemed of a desire. Mishaka yitzah ben nevat. Goyim worship this type of thing as well. Amai, ask the Gemara, why? What's the problem? Amai, hashvar amnin, they're broken. They're broken off the statue. Apparently, even a broken of a desire, it's still asur. No, answers the Gemara. We already discussed this earlier, our Tirgim Shmuel, but I'm done on Basisan. Shmuel already explained, was speaking that they're sitting on a pedestal on a base. That's a totally different story than just a randomly broken piece on the sides. If sitting on a base, perched up on the pedestal, we know it's still being used by the Zohar, and nobody was mevatel it. But perhaps, if it's just a random piece, perhaps it would be considered batel because, as we explained, the owner gives it no longer gives it any value or importance. Okay, so a quick recap of today's daf. We spoke about statues, forms of all types. When it was a confirmed avodah zarah, there's no question that you have to treat it as such. For instance, if it's holding something which indicates authority, dominion, a club, a globe, right, a ball, a bird, etc., etc. Otherwise, there's a suffix, and according to Rav Meir, it's still considered usher, according to Chachamim not. Now, all agree that if it's a broken selem, it's mutter because of that double suffix. Was it even avodah zarah? And even if it was, perhaps the owner, broke it and was mevatel it. Regarding a broken avodah zarah, meaning avodah zarah that was confirmed avodah zarah and it came apart, Shmuel and Shimon Lakish hold that it's mutter because the owner just loses interest in it. It's considered like a bittul. According to Rabbi Yechanan, unless we know for certain that he was mevatel, we can't assume anything, and it's still considered avodah zarah. All agree that if it's like a full hand, a full foot, and it's sitting on the on the buses, on the pedestal, all agree that indicates avodah zarah, and it will still be asr. All the best to you, and atzlacha.